Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
Hi, my name is Jennifer McIntyre. I am a public defender at the Snohomish County Public Defender Association and have been a public defender for 22 years. I'm here with Rachel Ford.
Hi, I'm Rachel Ford. I'm also a public defender in Snohomish County and been doing that for 12 years.
Rachel and I have talked about issues of social justice quite often, just while conversing, while talking about our work and things that we see in the criminal justice system that are issues that need to be addressed or that are being addressed but need to be brought to a larger audience. So through those conversations, we came up with the idea of coming to Holden Village and talking about a couple of these issues with the village.
Yeah, we think it's important for the wider community, not just lawyers, to be fighting this on behalf of their neighbors and community members and often church members who face incarceration, sometimes for things serious, but mostly for things that are less serious, nonviolent, yet they're being treated very, very harshly. We've also noticed that our clients who have a strong support system from the faith community seem to do better once they're released, and also can use that as an argument for release.
Correct. The theme of this year at Holden was Fear Not, and we thought that that was a great theme for people coming forward and really supporting these criminal justice reforms. So we're teaching three sessions at Holden this week. The first one is called From Incarceration to Reformation or Reformation, Increasing Mercy and Grace in the Justice System.
And in that session, we're really talking about alternatives to incarceration and all of the things that we can do to focus on rehabilitation of offenders rather than punishing them simply in a punitive manner, keeping them behind bars, and not giving them the tools they need to reintegrate into our community and become better citizens.
That we're going to address mass incarceration and why it is that the United States has such a high rate of incarceration compared to any other country, and what that really says about how we feel about our neighbors, our citizens, fellow citizens, and what we can do to help people come out of incarceration or avoid incarceration to better themselves and society, and how that's better for everyone.
Right. And as people of faith and Christians in particular, we're taught to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I think one of the best ways we can actually put our money where our mouth is by supporting these alternatives. People whose offense behavior is driven by drug addiction really should be routed towards a rehabilitative drug treatment model. People who may be suffering PTSD from their military service should be routed towards an alternative that's focused on the sort of issues that many veterans face. And then I think one that Jennifer and I have dealt with most intimately is if there are mental health issues that are driving the offense behavior, that those people should really be given treatment and should not be sent to jail that is not a substitute for the treatment that they actually need.
But those are areas that people should not be incarcerated, and it's easier to get the community behind persons who have mental health issues or addiction issues or veterans. But beyond that, just taking our fellow humans who have had issues in their lives that have led them to have criminal convictions or to act in a way that is deemed criminal or is criminal, we still need to take people who just did something terrible, and have a way for them to come out of that as a whole person and not as someone who has gone into the prison system and comes out even more damaged, more dangerous, and of no, you know, no self-worth, or society has no worth for them, because that's not healthy either. So not just people who have a real tangible area that you can get behind and have empathy or sympathy for, but even people who just have done a criminal act and are going to prison still need to have some rehabilitation or some way to come out of that.
Right. We always have to remember that people have the capacity to change. And I think that's deeply rooted in our faith, and the idea that there's a greater power that can help us with those changes. And that's not just for the people who are privileged or start out from a decent upbringing or not experiencing poverty or something like that. Those are for the people who really have, you know, whether for a good reason or not a good reason, done the worst things in our society. And we also have to apply those same principles to them.
Another session we're going to talk about is bail as an injustice for the poor. And in that session, we're really going to talk about some statistics about what happens when someone is held pre-trial, when they're still presumed innocent, but they're held in custody and can't get out of custody before their trial. And the different ramifications of that, and how the disparities, how that affects people of color more, and certainly people in poverty situations.
And what we've learned about that, just kind of piggybacking on the idea of alternatives, is those alternatives to incarceration are really only available to those who start from a position of being out of custody. Once you're in custody, the likelihood of an outcome that is going to result in even more jail or prison time is much greater. And so if we can keep people out and truly practice the presumption of innocence, we can achieve much better outcomes for everybody.
Rachel and I have had countless incidents where we've had clients who are held in custody. They can't get out because they either don't have an address or there's bail set that they can't meet the bail amount. And so whether or not they are innocent or have a good case, or there are alternatives we could try to find for them but take some time to figure out, they just decide to plead guilty so that they can get out faster. And I can't even tell you how many times over 22 years I've seen that happen.
Right, and that just has a snowball effect, because the next time, especially if their offenses are driven by mental illness or drug addiction, the next time they come in, they are facing even more time because the number of criminal convictions follows you for the rest of your life. So you may be pleading guilty to something you didn't do in order to obtain a release. So it sounds grim, but there have been some areas where we've made progress with alternatives to incarceration. The drug treatment courts, the mental health courts have been proven to reduce recidivism, which is another sort of fancier word for repeat offenses. And then the other important thing is that the progress that people have been made in bail reform has also achieved outcomes that are good for defendants and also good for the community in reducing taxpayer dollars. There's an organization called the Northwest Community Bail Fund, which serves just King and Snohomish County right now. It'd be important for community support to expand that, but they've had several documented positive outcomes. One case in particular, the person was arrested for assaulting a police officer, and the person told his attorney right away that it was actually the police officer who assaulted him, and then essentially doctored the evidence to make it look like he was the defendant had done the assault. The Northwest Community Bail Fund was able to post bail for him, giving the attorney time to obtain the videographic and other evidence in order to exonerate the defendant and also inculpate, or I guess point the finger at, the police officer. The case was ultimately dismissed and the police officer received some sort of sanction, but the reality is that defendant would have pled guilty long before the evidence was obtained had he been in custody. And also a corrupt police officer would have been able to continue I guess, doctoring evidence in order to further his bad behavior. So that's been a way in which there has been some community support that's made a difference.
And that community group, Northwest Bail Fund, that came from originally from St. Mark's Episcopal Church. So it was a faith group that saw that need and kind of met that need, asking some community members to be on the board and starting that bail fund as a nonprofit. Our last session is going to be called From Incarceration to Reformation, Welcoming Modern Day Lepers Back to Our Communities. And that session is going to be about sex offenders, people who have been convicted of sex offenses and are released and coming back into society, trying to build their lives. We called it Modern Day Lepers because Rachel and I both have worked a lot with sexually violent predators, which are civil commitments, where people have served their criminal conviction time in prison, then they're about to be released, and they're committed to serve an indefinite period of time on McNeil Island. So they're kind of put on an island. Some of people call it Sex Offender Island, and they're there indefinitely until they can be proven to be safe in society. So we've both worked with this population for quite a while, not presently, but in our past work. So we really wanted to address that population. There's a lot of misinformation out there about sex offenders. Whenever we talk to anybody, they assume all sex offenders will reoffend, and that is a completely wrong statistic. It's more like about 2.7%. Is that right, Rachel?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple of other studies, but most studies are well below 5% reoffense rate for sex offenders. But what we have really seen in our work is that when communities embrace these people, and it's difficult, we understand how difficult it is to embrace people who have been convicted of sex offenses. But when they do, especially faith communities, the outcomes are so much better than otherwise. And honestly, the ones that in our experience, and we've between us probably represented at least 50, if not more, people who have been identified as sexually violent predators. The ones who are released with a faith-based support system really have not had any reoffense.
No, we haven't seen any reoffense in our time.
And there's a movement called COSAs, which is something that's basically a circle of support. It was started by a faith group, a Mennonite pastor, that really, in order to keep the ideas, in order to show love to these people, but also keep the community safe, we need to have sort of concentric circles of support, primary groups, larger groups within the community too, that are all sort of rallying around this person to keep them safe and keep the community safe.
And we understand this is very controversial, and a lot of people just want to stay as far away from anyone who's committed a sex offense as they can, and we completely understand that instinct. But we need to understand as a community that there are sex offenders in our community, and we're safer if they're not driven under bridges and into hiding and into despair and depression, which can sometimes trigger reoffense.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.